Central Jesus reading cycle. Good to see a few hands. How many of those involved in house groups? Oh, I'm pretty much the same, actually, which is good. Some good readings out of this, and I think it's good, just as Paul was pointing out before, too, not just a reading to go through, but it's more like as you look at the prayers and you pray it, and it's sort of like this is a relationship with the Jesus, I suppose, that we're sort of learning about here. I think it's also great, too, going through the Old Testament. Now, I don't know how many people have had this challenge besides probably the Herods, but have you ever tried to share the gospel with somebody from just the Old Testament? I don't think I have, and I think I'd have a job doing it, you know, if that challenge was put before me. But the Herods, obviously, with the Israelis, probably do get that opportunity. But going through this, it's certainly given you a good background. And going through these prophecies for this study was really quite interesting. So when you come to do these readings, it'll be good. But before we start, I want to look at what Whitney, the author of this book, just some of the things he said about prophecy. He said, so what exactly is prophecy? At its heart, it's about proclaiming God's truth in a particular situation, which is forth-telling. And then he goes on, another aspect of biblical prophecy involves predicting God's plans for the future, which is foretelling. Of course, the most important feature of biblical prophecy is that whether it involved forth-telling or foretelling, it was not just the words and thoughts of a man. A prophet was someone who spoke for God. And that's a pretty powerful statement to make. So when you're speaking for God, it's quite a big thing to do. And so you've really got to admire these prophets. And we realise also from some of the false prophets in the Bible, and you're reading in the Bible, that they were struck down by God because of their false prophecy. So got to take these words pretty carefully. We've got something up on the screen there. Thanks. So in reading these ones, we're going to be looking at Jeremiah. And when I read these readings in this section of the prophecies about Jesus as Messiah, a common theme seems to run through them, and you might see this as you do these readings yourself. The people of Israel were an unruly nation, and if we go right back to the book of Judges, we see that they only wanted to do what was right in their own eyes, despite how God had saved them again and again. They wanted to be like other nations, and they wanted a king. God gave them over to this desire, which only seemed to make matters worse. Yes, they had a few good kings and prophets, which set them on the right track again, but they also had a bad run of bad kings and prophets as well. We're going to look at Jeremiah 23 in a minute, but in the previous chapter, 22, God speaks to these kings through Jeremiah, instructing them how to live and to look after this people with tender care, and gives a warning if they don't heed his attention. It then goes on to speak of three kings who failed miserably in this task, and they faced severe consequences because of this. The role of the kings and prophets was to shepherd the people and to lead them in the ways of God as a shepherd does with his sheep. Or to take the words from Jeremiah 22 verse 3, he says, be fair-minded and just. Do what is right. Help those who have been robbed. Rescue them from their oppressors. Quit your evil deeds. Do not mistreat foreigners, orphans, and widows. But they failed miserably, and so often. But such is the way of a sinful life. We probably wouldn't do much better if we were in their place. And here steps in our prophet Jeremiah, 600 years before Christ, with the much unwanted task of speaking God's word to these unjust kings. Yet he also had some very good news that a new shepherd was to come, a good shepherd who has a love for his sheep and to the point of laying down his life for a sheep. So this morning, through these readings, we're going to look at Jesus as the good shepherd. Let's just open in prayer. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to speak. I thank you, Lord, for the time I've spent in study and talking with you and relating to you as a shepherd. And I pray you would just be able to speak through me this morning to these people, your people, Lord, your flock, your sheep, and speak to us about the truth of the shepherd and bring alive these prophecies from Jeremiah to us today. Amen. So Jeremiah 23, verses 1 and 2, we'll look there. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture. declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who are tending my people, you have scattered my flock and have driven them away and have not attended to them. Behold, I am about to attend to you for the evil of your deeds, declares the Lord. And in Zechariah 11:17, it says, woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock. So here we jump in, where Jeremiah is speaking of the kings and the prophets who were unjust. These shepherds didn't have a love for the sheep, but completely opposite. They were destroying and scattering the sheep. Now, I'm not a farmer, but if I were to shepherd the sheep, I don't think scattering and destroying the sheep would be the best way to get on with them. Notice that God, in this verse, is referring to his flock as my flock. These sheep were not the king's sheep. God's people. These kings had the role of a shepherd as ordained by God to look after his flock. This role is not to be taken lightly, but involves great responsibility. The New Living Translation sheds a different light on this verse. It says, this is verse 1, what sorrow awaits the leaders of my people, the shepherds of my sheep, for they have destroyed and scattered the very ones they were expected to care for, says the Lord. Now, I looked up and I was reading the New American Standard Bible when I did this study. And I looked up the word tend that it used there in the Hebrew. The Hebrew word is ra'ah, and it means to associate with as a friend, companion, keep company with, feed, keep, and pastor. And they also use the word attend in Hebrew, which is pekad, which means to attend, to visit, to muster, and appoint. I thought it was quite interesting, some words there, in the way that they were expected to shepherd these sheep, these kings. The job of the kings of the day was to be friends with God's people. They were to associate with them, keep and pastor them, make sure they have enough food and water, to visit them, to protect them, and even appoint them to certain tasks. They probably, and even more importantly, they're probably to look as looking after God's people, they would be expected to tend to his flock spiritually. Be an example of, remind them of God's ways, keep the idols away, live faithfully to God themselves, and set and be an example to others. I just sort of think of, when I was doing this, I thought of all the countries and the kings and presidents around this world looking after their own countries. I wonder how they sort of fulfill these same roles themselves in this way. And I know some of them certainly fail and are in a great need of prayer. But with this analogy of the shepherds and the sheep, it makes me wonder what sort of shepherds the people of the day really were. And so I looked this up on the internet as well. And they often lived apart from society. They lived out there with the sheep, maybe in a cave or for somewhere for shelter. They would even act as a door to the cave to protect the sheep from the wild animals. They would often move around to ensure the sheep had good food and good water. There was no need for fences, because the sheep knew their master. They knew his voice and they would come at his call. Rather than driving the sheep before them with dogs, the sheep would follow their master willingly, because he protected them from the sheep and the dogs. From the dogs. Being a shepherd was quite a lonely and quite a humble job. Sometimes, however, they got together with other shepherds and they looked after their flocks together. And then I was maybe sort of think, well, do we see this today? Is this how farmers look after their sheep today? So I'm wanting all those who are farmers of sheep today, farmers who have 10 sheep or more. You don't have to be a full-time farmer, but 10 sheep or more, can you stand up? That's good. Right. Oh, that's great. We've got some good farmers here. Okay, I've got some questions for you. So Dave, how many sheep do you have?
12.
That's good. You fit in there. Just perfect. That's great. Do you know your sheep by name?
A couple of them.
Okay. Stephen, do your sheep know your voice? That is, if you call to them, will they come to you?
If they're hungry.
Some conditions are being applied here. Okay. Mike, do you lead your sheep, or do they follow you, or do you drive them from behind?
Drive them.
Fair enough. Ivan, do you live with your sheep out in the paddock? No. Who else do we have? Okay. Do you have fences for your sheep, or do they stay close by you? You have fences? James, if one of your sheep strayed and got lost, would you search for that sheep until they were found?
I would.
You would. Good to hear. That's great. Would you stand in the gap, stand between your sheep and a pack of wild dogs to protect them? You would? Very good. Okay, David, tough question. If it came to the crunch, would you sacrifice your life for the sheep to save their lives?
No.
All right, you may sit down. Thank you very much. Okay. Yes. I'll speak about Hillary soon. So I don't mean to sort of make fun of the farmers today, but obviously the shepherding today is very different from those days. Now we're going to have a look at another verse here we go. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. It says, "Therefore I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." And so this is obviously talking about the elders, and we are God's sheep of the flock of God, if you like. But we see the similarities here between the elders and the people and the shepherds of the day tending their flock, and that was a really good analogy. Probably not the analogy that Jesus would use today here with the farmers that we have. It doesn't seem to sort of have the same ring to it. But the leaders of the church today have an incredible responsibility to what it is to lord it over God's flock. I mean, or is it to lord it over God's flock, I should say? Is it to show who's boss? But no, it's to shepherd God's flock, to tend to his God's people and make company with, to be friends with, to pastor and appoint. Have we got any elders in church this morning? There's no one here. David, come in, please. Since you're the only elder, you're going to be put on the hot spot and have all the tough questions yourself. Right. Do you, above all, David, have a love and respect for the chief shepherd? Now, you can answer this on behalf of you or the elders, if you like, say. But do you, above all, have a love and respect for the chief shepherd?
Yes.
You do. That's great. At Rosedale, do you love the sheep of God's flock? Good to hear. Do you lead the sheep by example, or do you drive them from behind?
I drive home.
Do you know the sheep by name?
Majority.
I think probably you, out of all the elders, would probably know most of the sheep by name. Do you make friends with God's sheep? Do you tend to them, visit them, feed them, and appoint them? Yep, good stuff. Do the sheep know your voice and come to you when you call? You can take that however you like. Do you need fences for your sheep, or do they stay close by you as you lead them in the way of the chief shepherd?
I need to restrain some.
Mm-hmm. Very good. If a sheep strayed away and got lost, would you search for that sheep until they were found? Good stuff. Will you stand in between your sheep and a pack of wild dogs, so to speak, to protect them? Yes. Well, you can take that in any... Yes, that's right, yep. If it came to the crunch, would you sacrifice your life for your sheep to save their lives? Hopefully it didn't even come to that, but it's a tough, isn't it? I mean, being an elder, this is the role that God had put on the kings of the day. And in some ways, the same is for the elders of the church today. And I encourage our elders of this church. I mean, Dave's the only one here to face all the tough questions, but they do a great job, and they really do put, well, maybe not their lives on the line physically like that sort of thing, but they certainly go out and do a lot of work behind the scenes and really tend to the sheep. They visit, they appoint them, they feed us, and they give us tasks to do, and they lead by example. And so I do encourage the elders of our church. They do an incredible job in this way. I was meant to skip that on. There's the flock. But let me ask the rest of you the same question. You know, because you are not a sheep farmer or an elder, does that make you any less a shepherd? And you could sort of say, well, yes or no, I suppose. But whether we like it or not, we have an influence over somebody. And someone will be looking at us to see if the right way to do something. As a child of God, what influence do you want to be to those observing you? We need to be using our lives about making much of God. As a mother and father, we have the responsibility to shepherd our children. As leaders of rally and youth group, you have the responsibility to shepherd God's children and youth under your care. At school and in our work, our peers will be observing us as Christians. What they observe draw them closer to the chief shepherd? And looking back again at Jeremiah, we see that it is not good for the unjust shepherds because they did not take their role seriously. They were like hired hands who had no concern for God's flock, but just for their own gain. See in verse 9 here. As for the prophets, my heart is broken within me. All my bones tremble. I have become like a drunken man, even like a man overcome with wine because of the Lord and because of his holy words. So this verse again shows the gravity of a leader who has been given a position of responsibility by God to shepherd God's people and yet has set in his mind to serve himself instead. Thankfully, God's word to Jeremiah didn't stop there, and we're going to look at verses 3 and 4 now. It says, then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their pasture, and they will be fruitful and multiply. I will also raise up shepherds over them, and they will tend them, and they will not be afraid any longer, nor be terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. And you think, when you think of how stubborn sheep can be, and especially the flock of God, I think it's amazing just how fond he is of his sheep, of us. And I think it's great here how Scripture also confirms other parts of Scripture, and we're just going to look at three other parts of Scripture here, relating back to that verse. Again in Jeremiah 3:15, he says, then I will give you the shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you on knowledge and understanding. In Ezekiel, then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them. He will feed them himself and be their shepherd. You can see the start, the prophecy of Jesus coming through there. Revelation 7:17, for the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to the springs of water of life, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. It's great, isn't it? Jeremiah 23:5. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. What a contrast to the kings of Jeremiah's day. And I just sort of think how the people must have really longed for a king like this, for a ruler like this over them. But what does this mean? I will raise up for David a righteous branch. It sounds a bit cryptic, don't you think? Well, in some ways, this has two meanings. One is that we can relate to this like a family tree and how it branches out into different generations. So someone from David's line is going to be raised up who is righteous. It is as though David, being the first righteous king, is like a root and the branches come off from that tree. Another point to notice, then, in my Bible, the word branch is with a capital B. Names start with capitals, and this righteous branch is a person of great importance. A branch will lead out from the main part of the tree. This is to say this righteous branch will be taking a different path from the way things have been going. Up to now, things have been going this way, and now they're going to be going that way. So this is like a new and righteous way. But I guess the question remains still, who is that branch? And let's look again at some scriptures that will point out and verify this again as well. And Isaiah is a great one for looking at this. In that day, the branch, the capital B, of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth will be the pride and the adornment of the survivors of Israel. In Luke, and this is when the angel Gabriel speaks to Mary, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." We see that coming through there. "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And again in Isaiah, verse chapter 11, "Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse," David's dad, that is, "and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, his word, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be a belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist." And I just love that. I just sort of read through that and I'm thinking how it's fulfilling these other prophecies of Scripture. Very exciting to see that the parts of Scripture also fulfilling that Jesus, or the shepherd coming through, will be a righteous branch from David. And he will be righteous as well, as we've seen in Isaiah here, and it was also seen in Luke being fulfilled there with the birth of Jesus. How well do you know the shepherd? Do you know his voice? So verse 6, let's have a look at that one. Jeremiah 23, verse 6. "In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." There we see it again. And notice the capitals for the Lord, all in capitals there. And this is just not a Lord, but this is God, the Lord of Lords. And I like to how it also says the Lord our righteousness. Because Jesus has to become our righteousness. We cannot be righteous in our own accord, for no one is good. As his sheep, we have to be in complete surrender to his will and come under his tender care. In Romans 3:23, it speaks of this as well. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. "But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe." He is our righteousness. Now, I just want to look at two small passages about prophecy, and you're going to read these through your readings this week if you're doing the Essential Jesus readings. And this is speaking about the prophecy of the chief shepherd tending the flock of God. Imagine yourself there among these people of Israel, under the rule of an unjust king, these false kings and the false prophets who have not taken the role of shepherding God's flock seriously. And then you hear this from Ezekiel. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the streams and all the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in a good pasture, and the grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie on they will lie down on good grazing ground and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord. And then verse 23, then I will set them over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them. He will feed them himself and be their shepherd. And one in Zechariah, which is great too. And the Lord their God will save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they are the stones of a crown sparkling in his land. And I can sense God's devotion for his people here. These are pretty stubborn sheep, if you like, and they like to go their own way, but he has such a love for his people. He wants the best for them. As his sheep, how are you responding? Can you hear his voice? Is it his voice that you are following? A man in Australia, could be this man, looks like he's from India though, but a man in Australia was arrested and charged with stealing a sheep. But he claimed emphatically that it was one of his own and that it had been missing for many days. When the case went to court, the judge was puzzled, not knowing how to decide the matter. At last, he asked that the sheep be brought into the courtroom. He then ordered the plaintiff to step outside and call the animal. The sheep made no response except to raise his head and look frightened. The judge then instructed the defendant to go out to the courtyard and call the sheep. When the accused man began to make his distinctive call, the sheep bounded toward the door. It was obvious that he recognised the familiar voice of his master. His sheep knows him, said the judge. Case dismissed. So ask again, can you hear his voice? And is it his voice that you are following? In Micah chapter 5, it speaks again of this prophecy that a righteous ruler will be born in Bethlehem. And again, you'll read that this week. And that he will rule over Israel and shepherd his flock. And in verse 5 of Micah chapter 5, it says, this one will be our peace. And how is it that he becomes our peace? In Colossians 1, it says, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And the price you pay as a shepherd there, it took blood, I suppose. It took the death of Jesus to bring us peace. That they took the death of our shepherd. And in thinking of Jesus' death and through his death that we have peace with God, there is something for you to consider with our house groups. I don't have time to go through this morning, but there's a question I'm going to give you for your house groups or maybe even during lunch today, whoever you have lunch with. But to look at this next prophecy, and this is from Zechariah, and it's speaking about God. This is God speaking about the chief shepherd. And in Zechariah 3:17 it says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man, my associate, declares the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, that the sheep may be scattered, and I will turn my hand against the little ones. And there's a couple other references there for you. So in your house groups or in your families this week, discuss this question. Why? Why raise up the good shepherd to tend the sheep after all these unjust shepherds have scattered the sheep in their evil ways? Only then for God to strike down the good shepherd, only to scatter the sheep again. I'll leave you with that one. You might be willing to sort of jump out with that answer right now, but I've asked it one person before and they came up with it straight away, but I'll let you just talk about that. It's an interesting one. Two men were called, you may have heard this before, this is an old one, but that's all right. Two men were called on a large classroom to recite the 23rd Psalm. One was a published orator, trained in speech, technique, and drama. He repeated the psalm in a powerful way, and when he finished, the audience cheered and even asked for an encore that they might hear his wonderful voice again. The other man, who was much older, repeated the same words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But when he finished, no sound came from the large class. Instead, people sat in a deep mood of devotion and prayer. Then the first man, the orator, stood to his feet. "I have a confession to make," he said. "The difference between what you have just heard from my old friend and what you have heard from me is this. I know the psalm, and my friend knows the shepherd." How well do you know the shepherd? Do you just know about the shepherd, or do you know him personally? So to summarise things, let's have a look at and compare some of the differences that we have seen this morning. The unjust shepherds. The unjust shepherds have no respect for the chief shepherd. They have no respect for God, the Father, and therefore no respect for his flock. They do their work out of duty if it serves to their gain. They feel those under them, the sheep, are there to serve them. They have no regard for the sheep and they're not concerned if one gets lost. They are not his sheep anyway. They have no love for the sheep, and when the wolves come, they are quick to abandon their sheep and leave them scattered. The sheep don't know his voice and they run from him. What is the point of the unjust shepherd in the kingdom of God? There is no such place for an unjust shepherd. And it is God who will attend to them because of their evil ways. The good shepherd, however, let us align ourselves with the good shepherd, the righteous branch, the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves the Father, and it is out of devotion that he is willing to serve and carry out his will. He loves the sheep, the flock of God, and is willing to sacrifice all to keep them in the Father's flock. If a shepherd gets lost, he will pursue that lost sheep until she is found and draw her back into the fold. When an enemy comes to scatter and destroy the flock, he will not abandon them, but is willing to lay down his life for them. He knows the sheep by name. He walks ahead of them and they follow because they know his voice. And what about the sheep? Sheep are dumb and defenseless. No offence there, but I'm including myself in that lot as well. They need a shepherd to lead them. They cannot lead themselves without going astray or by being overcome by the wolves. We have a sheep called Hillary. This is who here, who's actually on holiday at the Wisemans at the moment. We even give her holidays. We had Hillary from a lamb, and the kids fed her and brought her up. Hillary comes when she is called, and she just eats the bread of her hands, and she sort of calls back as well with her own way. And she lets us scratch her head, but generally when we keep on our side of the fence. We jump over the fence, she sort of knows there's going to be trouble. And I always remember Scott Brown sharing of some shepherds calling out to their sheep in a mixed flock, and the sheep that recognised the master's voice would come to him. And a man asked the question, "Do the sheep only come to their master's voice?" And he replied, "No, when they are sick, they will follow anyone." Interesting, isn't it? So let's look at ourselves. Do you have the role of a shepherd? Do you first and foremost have a love for the Father? Do you love those who are under your care? Are you serving God out of duty or devotion? How far are you willing to go to protect those under your care from the enemy? And as part of the flock of God, are we sick and therefore easily led astray by the unjust shepherds, or do we recognise the voice of the good shepherd? The more time we spend with the shepherd, the closer we will become, and we'll realise that he has our best in mind. Or are we proud sheep, feeling we don't need a shepherd? Let us be aware how easy it is to fall prey to the enemy or to get lost. If Jesus considers us the jewels in his crown and is willing to lay down his life for us, that we might be with the Father, what better shepherd could we ever ask for? Let us therefore admit that we are humble, defenceless sheep in need of a shepherd and submit to the wonderful care of the Good Shepherd. Let's pray. Jesus, I just thank you that you are the perfect example of a good shepherd. I thank you that you tend to us, that you have a love for us. I guess first and foremost that you have a love for your Father and that you're willing to carry out his will, that you have an undying love for us, that you're willing to lay down your life for us, that we might be with the Father and be kept within that fold. I thank you that you consider us jewels in your crown. I thank you for your devotion in this way. Lord, our only response can be to submit to you in humility, Lord, and receive your love and come under your tender care. Rid us from our pride that will drive us away and lead us to the wolves, Lord. I just pray, Lord, for the elders of our church. I pray, Lord, for the leaders of our church and the leaders of our countries as well, Lord. I pray for us who are in leadership positions. Pray you'll give us wisdom and guidance as we lead your people. Give us strength and help us to lead by example. Help us to be careful too to listen to the Master's voice and to walk in that way, to take on this responsibility with devotion to you, Lord, with a love for you. Lord, I thank you for each of us here this morning. I just pray that throughout this week as we think on the shepherd, as we talk with the shepherd, as we walk with the shepherd, Lord, that we would come to know your voice so clearly and that just we wouldn't want to walk in any other way but the way that you have set. Amen.